heaven above planned it and wrote it and set it out was that it was a story for our rescue and for our understanding on, man, the things of God, that he could come down and become one of us so that he could save us. Amen? And I'm glad of that. Well, take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Look with me. We're going to look in the Old Testament again. And I want you to flip over to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter number 16. Exodus, chapter number 16. And we'll try to bring you a little something there that may be a helpful thought and blessing to you tonight. Exodus, chapter number 16. And we'll read just a few verses, if you will. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came under the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he hath, hearing your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And the Moses spake unto Aaron, and saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, and take ye every man for them that are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, that he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered every man, every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and bringing us back to this place tonight. And I pray now you add your blessing to the reading of your word. Give us direction, give us wisdom, give us insight now, and help us just to do that that would please you and give you honor and glory. And we'll thank you for that. Save that when it's lost. Speak to our hearts, burden our souls tonight. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach to you tonight, if I can, on BYOB. Bring your own bowl. Amen. Bring your own bowl. Not bring your own bottle, but bring your own bowl. That's what I'm going to preach to you tonight about. Bring your own bowl. Now, if you look at this story, and I guess most of us know it, but the Lord feeds Israel in the wilderness with the quail in the morning, or excuse me, in the evening, and the manna in the morning. And you see how that, you know, the folks are looking for something to eat. And I mean, they've got complaints and they're all upset. And I, you know, it just tell me, hey, it must be a Baptist church. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I mean, here's this group together and they're looking for, you know, something from God. And, you know, just in thinking about this as you started out, I understand that from this whole picture, it is a picture of God's divine provision. God's divine provision. When you begin to think about God's divine provision among this whole group, I guess really the first thing you and I think about is this, that these folks that are here, first of all, we see them as the unappreciating people. I mean, these people are they just don't appreciate anything God done for them, you know? And I think we get that way sometimes, all of us, from time to time, because of the goodness of God and the things that are going on. Things roll along pretty smooth and pretty good, and we get to taking what's going on for granted. I mean, we begin to say, well, you know, everything's okay, but I think it ought to be better. I think I ought to be getting more. Hey, how come I don't have this, and how come this and that and the other didn't happen? And that's the way I believe, if we're not careful, every one of us as Christians can get. You'll notice what it says here in the very beginning. It says they took their journey from Elam, all the congregation of Israel, and it talks about there in verse number 1 what day it is after they've left. And if you'll notice, it's been a month since they've left Egypt. It's been one month. On the 14th day of the first month God gave them, he told them to take the sacrifice, take the lamb, and to slay it, and then to eat it, and get ready to leave, because you're leaving that night. It's the Lord's Passover. But you notice what it says there in verse number 1. It says here that they came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So they've been walking around, wandering around for a month now. And what I mean by that is, look, it don't take folks long to get unappreciative. Look what it says. And the whole congregation, the children of Israel, verse 2, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, when we did eat bread to the full. For you brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Y'all brought us out here and we're just going to starve to death. Amen. Isn't that what they're saying? Oh, Moses, Aaron, what are y'all doing? We wish God had just killed us all down there. Can you imagine that? But I'm telling you, we get there sometimes. We might not use those words, but we like to, a lot of times, live back there in yesterday, don't we? I remember in the old days, they used to shout and hang from the ceiling and run laps around the auditorium. And, you know, hey, I agree with you. And I even say it sometimes myself. But can I tell you something? That was then, this is now. Amen? I mean, this is today, and this is where we are. So I believe we need to understand, we need to deal with the things in the present time. Oh, I'd love to go back when people got saved every service you had, and the saints shouted and the people sang and the choir was full and the pews were mainly full. Hey, I'd love to go back to them days. But you know what? We're not there. This is where we are today, and this is what we've got to deal with. Amen? We wish we'd back in. No, they don't. If you go back and read the very first part of the book of this Exodus, you'll see that it says that God talks to Moses, says that he's going to send him down. He said, because I've heard the cries of my children down in Egypt. They were crying down there too. They had a burden on them. They had to build the buildings of Pharaoh and do the work of Pharaoh. And God finally sent somebody down there to deliver. But now, since they got delivered, things have changed. But you know what? The murmuring's still there. Amen? I can tell you, sometimes there's some folks, even if God saves them, they still got a murmur on the inside of them. They still got the fussy grumbles. Amen? They still got to pooch lip. The things ain't going my way. Hey, can I tell you, friend, you need to wake up and quit being such an unappreciative person. Amen? So there's unappreciative people. And secondly, I want you to notice this. When we're looking at this divine provision, it's just like everything else. This is an upward provision. If you'll notice what the Lord says to him here in verse number 4, it says, "And the Lord then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold," listen to what he said, "I will rain bread from heaven for you." What does that mean? That means God said, "I'm going to send it down from me to you." Hey, you and I need to understand this thing is from upwards. It's from above. It's from over our head. Hey, when we get the blessings of God, it's not something we worked out. It's not some deal we've concocted. It's not something the Baptist did. It's not something the preacher got together and throwed in there. It's not what all the congregation. Hey, this is something that only can come from God. Here's these folks, and they're in a situation, and it's, you know, I got it. They don't know what to do, and they don't know. But you know what you do when you don't know what to do? Tie a knot in the end of your string and hang on, honey, because God is about to do something. Amen? God's still in control. Amen? I heard a guy the other day, and he's like, you know, sometimes we get all tore up over the situations of the world and we think, oh, if this and if that. Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you this, and I'm not trying to be a smart act, not trying to be political. Hey, Trump's back in the White House, but can I tell you, that doesn't answer all the problems. Amen. I'm just telling you. I mean, it may happen, it may change, but I'm telling you, hey, we still need Jesus. Just because politics went your way, that don't mean that's the answer to everything. I'm telling you, you still need the Lord. Amen. You and I still need Him more today than we did yesterday. And we'll need Him more if the Lord willing tomorrow comes. We're going to need Him. Amen. Amen. As the old fellow said, hey, my Messiah ain't got here yet. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes we look and we get all excited, you know, over this and that, politics or economics. Oh, the preacher of the stock market. Can I tell you, it can go down tomorrow. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, things may look bright and sunny on this forecast and this idea and this situation. Hey, they may be talking about a peace treaty over in the Middle East, but it can blow up like a balloon tomorrow. Amen. What I'm saying is, you and I still need the Lord. Everything we get comes from above. I mean, it's still coming. And if it does come, it's still, you and I need to recognize it's coming from Him. I mean, here they are, the unappreciative people. And as I say, they don't realize that there is an upward provision. This is all coming from God, whatever's going to be done. And God tells Moses, He said, you tell them that I will rain bread from heaven. Amen? I want you to notice this. When we get to talking about this, and you and I get to thinking, God promises them bread from heaven. But I want you to notice that what He gives them is a unique product. A unique product. Look down in verse number 13, and notice what it says. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up. Now, we're not going to talk about the quails, but God sent the quails in, and all they had to do is go out there and grab them by the handful, and they could eat quail. As a matter of fact, they did eat quail, and God said, I'm going to give you some. It'll run out your noses. Amen? You ever done that to your kids? Your kids say, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. He said, I'm about to give it to you. I'm about to let you have it. But once you get it, you ain't going to like it near as much as you think you did. Amen. Eat them little Debbies. Let them run out this side of your nose. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Well, anyway. So he gives them quail in the evening. But look what it says. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. Here's the dew on the ground. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. That word hoar means white. There was a frosty, the dew was gone, and there was this frosty looking white stuff still on the ground. That's something unique. They hadn't seen that before. You know, in the morning you get up, if it's a reasonable day, if it's not real cold temperature, you go out and you can look at the grass and that dew's there, and then after a while the sun comes out and it just vaporizes and the grass gets dry, right? Isn't that the way most of us find it? Well, it says here they are, and when the dew was gone, right, there was something there. And it was a small white-looking substance. And the children of Israel saw it, and they said one to another, it is manna. For they wished not what it was. And the word manna means, what is it? What is it? What is it? They didn't know what is this? What is this? Oh, let me tell you, sometimes God does some stuff for us, and we don't even know what it is. We just ask the question, and we still don't understand what he's doing. And they wished not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Amen? Isn't that good? Then look over in verse number 31, if you will, a little bit further. It said, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Ooh, do y'all know what that is? I told y'all, that's banana pudding. Amen. I mean, you look out there and you see something. Can I tell y'all, I'm in some of them where the food groups kind of matter to me what color they are. Now, I mean, I eat green stuff, and don't get me wrong, I like green. But there's some green stuff I look at and I'm like, that's a little bit too green for me. That green don't look just right. And I'm telling you, when something is blue, if you got some blue food, we're in trouble. Amen. I mean, I ain't eating no blue food. I don't know what it is. Well, they make blue jelly. Well, you can have it. Amen. I'll just take me some red. I'll take me some other color, whatever it may be. But let me just tell you, there's something. But when it comes to something white, I'm in. Okay? When it comes to white, hey, I know white looks clear presentable and looks pure and looks good. Banana pudding is white. Somebody say amen. Vanilla ice cream is white. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, I'm on the side for what? Some of that macaroni and cheese, some of it's a little orange, but hey, there's some that's white, and we'll eat that. Amen. Okay? So I'm on, and they looked at that, and they got a hold of it, and it tasted good. I mean, here it is. And I'm telling you, it was a unique provision that God has given them. They don't know what it is, but it's good, okay? I mean, it's sweet. It's like, they said it's like a wafer made with honey. I mean, man, can you imagine that? And that's on the ground down there. That's what God has given. As I say, this is a divine provision. But secondly, I want you to notice this about the manna. We're going to talk about the manna just for a little bit in that. And I want you to talk about, see how that it is in daily production. It is something that comes in for daily production. I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 20 and verse number 21. You notice what he says there. He said, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with him. And they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. I want you to notice this stuff is simply good for a daily provision. Can I tell you what God does for us? It's new and it's fresh every day. When you get up in the morning, you're going to need new mercies and new grace from God that you didn't need today, that you didn't even think about. You knew nothing. You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. But can I tell you, I know the one that holds tomorrow, and I'm glad he holds my hand. Amen? And boy, when I get up, he's going to give me tomorrow what I need for that day. Amen? He said, don't get to be hoarding it up. Don't get to stuff it back. You can't do that. Can I tell you, that's the good grace and the good mercies of God. It's new and it's fresh every morning. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, when you begin to think about that and you realize that his supply is new and fresh every day. I'll get up in the morning. You'll get up in the morning. And can I tell you, God's going to be there to meet you. I don't know what kind of day it's going to be. Some of you might have had a bad day today. Some of you have had a bad day. Some of you may have one tomorrow. But can I tell you, the Lord will meet you there and he'll supply your need. Amen. He's there with us every day. They got up in the morning, and you know what? When they went out there and the dew evaporated, there was that same white sweetness that was there for them yesterday. God gave them a new supply for that day. But you know what? Now, not only was it a new and a fresh, I want you to realize this, man, in that it was something that was sufficient to each man's need. Each man got exactly what he needed. Look here in verse number 18. It said, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now this is where we get into a little bit of bring your own bow. Do you see what it says there? That they measured it with an omer, O-M-E-R. And that is it seems, according to history, that every Jewish home had one of those measuring cups. Ladies, we go to most of your homes, and I go in there and I say, now I'm going to make something at your house, and I need a cup of milk. Have you got something to measure a cup in? Most of you say, well, sure, I got a measuring cup over here. And it measures, you know, one cup, half cup, whatever it is. And that's kind of a household staple, right? Well, that's exactly what an omer was. It was a household staple. And the Bible said that they could go and God would measure that out. They go gather it. And they just kind of had to eyeball it. They didn't take their measuring cup. But when they got back to the house and they put it in the measuring cup at the house, it worked out to where he that gathered too much, he had enough and it filled up and didn't have any more. But he that seemed like he didn't get as much, his got full too. What are you saying? I'm saying, I don't know what you need, but I'm glad God does. I don't know what I need, but I'm glad God does. And sometimes I think I need more than I need, but he said, no, I got just enough for you today. And sometimes, hey, you say, God, boy, this ain't gonna make it. And he said, yeah, I got enough. I got enough and then some. Oh God, well it seemed like today I got plenty in the boat. He said, nope, I'm gonna give you just what you need. Amen. And aren't you glad God's able to do that for all of us? I mean, here it is. It was something that was new, and it was supplied fresh every morning, and it was sufficient to meet every man's need. But I'll tell you this, it stank if you kept it too long. You see that? It says there, verse number 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. And Moses said, here's what I want you to do. Gather just so much, and don't keep it overnight. You know who they was? Again, they were Baptists. Well, I'm just going to get me some extra and I'm going to keep it. I don't care what he says. I don't care what that preacher says. I'm going to do that this way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what God said. Amen? You know that we're in that state today. I don't know why I'm getting into this, but we've got a whole bunch of folks around. They just don't care what God said. There's a big controversy right now, and you can weigh in anytime you want to, ever how you want to. That's up to you. But I'm telling you, there's folks, this little lady that was on TV that scolded the new president in the church service that they had before the inauguration or around the inauguration, when they did that, buddy, there's a lot of folks let the plow down on her, hadn't they? And I've heard all kinds of things. I don't know. But can I tell you that according to my Bible, I don't see where God has ever ordained any women to preach. Now, you know, again, I know that's a controversial and a touchy subject. I got it. I know that. But I can take my Bible, throw it out there, and you show me what we're talking. And like I say, you can get on Facebook right now, and buddy, they're tore up over it. I mean, they, you know, you got these here and you got those there, and they're all, oh, y'all just don't love nobody, and y'all hate women, and you're crazy. Amen. It's not about hating women or downgrading women or saying anything negative. All I'm telling you is I want to lift this right here up. Amen. I want to trust this. I want to go by this. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm not trying to do anything negative. I'm just telling you, look in your Bible. The answers will be answered very quickly and very succinctly and, you know, very, very accurately. But anyway, we got that big deal going on right now, right? Well, I don't care what the Bible says. There's somebody that has written, I don't know if it's a book or a paper or something, it says what Paul really meant when he wrote over in 2 Timothy about women, you know, not being suffered to speak and all that. What did he mean? Well, I can read it for myself. I got a pretty good. Now, look, I went to Rossville High School, but I can still read it and figure it out myself. Somebody say amen right there. Huh? I mean, I don't care where you went to school at. You sit down and read it. See what you come up with. I'm just telling you. Hey, we get into these things. And it ain't just that. I mean, there's a lot of other little things and stuff that goes on. And you get, you get the big camp divisions, you know. We're on this side. We're on this side. We ain't never going to get together. We're going to blah, 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 blah. You got it all. You got it all from people living together to homosexual marriage to the controversies over things in the churches and, you know, just all kinds of things going on right now. And can I tell you, all I know right here, this is my final authority. And when God says something, he means what he says. And here it is. And Moses said in verse number 19, let no man leave of it till the morning. What does that next word say? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Can you believe it? All the way back there in the book of Exodus, people wasn't listening to the man of God. Well, shocker, surprise, it's still going on 2025. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Why? Because God said, don't do that. And he said, if you do that, here's what's going to happen. And you know what? God was right. How about that? God knew what he's talking about all along. But isn't it amazing? God told him, said, now wait a minute. When it comes to Friday, if you will, the sixth day, in their doings, he said, gather double. Well, I thought you just told us don't. Well, I'm telling you, on this day, gather double. Well, it'll stink. It won't, because I said it won't. It will last 2 days, that, but that's all you're going to be allowed to do it. Well, I don't get that. God said that day was a day of rest, and nobody was to do any work, and he wanted it done. And you know what? That worked out the way God said. Isn't that amazing how stuff works out? Because it says in here that some of them went to get the next morning to find it. And when they did, hey, you know what it said? Look there in verse 25. Moses said, eat that today. He's talking about gathering it for 2 days. For today is the Sabbath day of the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. They were supposed to gather a double amount. He said, because if you go out, and look what it says. 6 days ye shall gather. But on the Sabbath day, which is Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass. Imagine this. The Baptist popped up again. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather. And what? And they found none. What about that? God knows what he's talking about every time. Isn't it amazing? God knows how to give the daily provision. God knows what he's doing in the daily provision. Well, listen, not only that, I want you to realize this. We talk about there's a daily provision. It's a divine provision. And now let's talk about the duties that there are in the process. First of all, I want you to realize that the Bible says this stuff is found where? On the ground. And as badly, I don't think maybe it was as badly for them as it might be for us. You know what they had to do? They had to stoop down to get what they needed that God had supplied. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't think they had too many heavenly shovels with them, do you? I don't think they had no Holy Ghost rakes out there. I mean, I don't think they had any of that kind of stuff. So you know what that meant? Then the morning, somebody, whoever was gathered, had to get down and get it off the ground. Can I tell you, sometimes, hey, God wants me and you to get involved in the work, and it is part of that is learning how to stoop. There's some stooping that's going to go on. We're going to have to get down and get in the dirt and get in the work and get in the place where God wants us to be. It ain't. He didn't spoon feed them. He didn't put it right there with their hands. He put it on the ground. And he said, you've got to go get it. So there's some stooping that's going to go on. I think a lot of us sometimes are like, well, God knows I need this. Poof, God just give it to me. It doesn't work like that. God expects me and you to do our part in the work of the Lord. God always does his part. God said, I'll rain down bread from heaven, but you bunch of lazy buzzards has got to go get it up. Well, I don't like that, preacher. Well, I'm just telling you, that's the way that it is. Amen? There's some stooping. And then not only that, again, get back with me to our Omer, and you'll notice that there's some scooping. They had to do some stooping, but now they got to do some scooping. Look what it says in verse number 18. It said, and when they did meet it with an Omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Woo, I want to take a number 3 wash tub out there. But you know what? When I get back, it still ain't going to fill but that little bowl right there. And I don't know how that works, but that's what this says right here. And there's somebody else out there with just a teaspoon or two, and they take it back, and it fills theirs up. You know, they as I say, they might have tried to eyeball it and said, well, we're going to need this much. We're going to need this much. But whatever it was just right. Can I tell you, Jesus just fits every one of us exactly to a T for whatever we need. Amen. The scooping. That's why I say you got to bring your own bowl. You bring your own bowl and God will fill it up. Amen. Hey, he's able. Amen. David said, my cup runneth over, right? My cup runneth over. You know what that tells me? That tells me David had a cup. That tells me David put his cup out. And that tells me that David was looking for the Lord to fill it up. And he said, and the Lord has filled my cup. I brought my own cup. Hey, have you brought your cup? You know, we go down to church. Well, y'all just bless me if you can, preacher. Choir, y'all just sing something. See if you can touch. I just don't know if you... Hey, come in here. Bring your cup. Lift it up. And let him fill it up. Amen. There's something for me and you to do in this thing too. Amen. They had to bring their own cups and they had to let them do some scooping and giving it out as they ought to. And then not only that, there was some stooping and some scooping, and then there was some inclusion. Amen? Listen to what it says. They were able to give to every person in their household. I mean, it went to everybody. It said they gathered every man according to his eating. In other words, how many ever people he had in his household, everybody had enough. Can I tell you, Jesus can meet the needs of your household, and it's just you by yourself. He can meet the needs of your household when it's about five or six of you. Hey, it doesn't matter how many is in your household. The Lord can meet the need of everybody that is there. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad he's able to include everybody? He doesn't push out anybody. He doesn't separate anybody. He said, oh, well, I'll bless all but you over there. No, sir. Hey, I'm glad that little phrase in the Bible in John 3:16, Brother James is talking about John 3:16, the love of God. Hey, he said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus included me and you in the whosoever will? All right, real quickly, let's look at a few things and talk about this. And what I'll say is this. There should have been within these people a delight from the provider and the provision of his promises. There should have been a delight on the inside of these people's hearts. Can I tell you, when you look at it, I mean, when you look at the story and you see what God gave them, first of all, do you see the appeal of it? Now, sometimes it didn't look too appealing, but can I tell you, after you first taste it, and you come back and you see that again, you say, I know what that is. Amen? Can I tell you, hey, there's I don't know how many years ago, several years ago, one of my granddaughters was there next to me. And I think we're having a birthday party, and we had a cheesecake. Amen? I mean, somebody say amen. Cheesecake, wow. Well, anyway, we had a cheesecake there. And it, you know, it's kind of yellow looking, and this one is baked, and it's kind of, you know, creamy looking. And she's standing there next to me, and I'm, you know, I'm a number one pawpaw, I'm telling you. I said, hey, honey, you want a bite of this? What is that? I said, it's cheesecake. She said, I don't think so. I said, well, why not? She said, I don't like it. I said, have you ever tasted it? No, but I don't think I like it. I said, well, let me just tell you. Take one little bite and let's see. I said, now, it says cheesecake, and we say cheesecake, but that's just kind of a, there, you know, it doesn't really have any cheese like you're thinking about, in it. Well, I might try a little bite. I get that fork in there. I throw that in her mouth, and them eyes light up. I believe we'll have another bite. Amen? I believe I will have me. So before it's over, I think she ate my piece of cheesecake. Amen. Why? Because once she tasted it and she knew, she got over what it looked like. Sometimes some of the things of God, in their appearing, it may not appear much. It may not look right. It may not look very appetizing. But can I tell you, the proof is in the pudding, y'all. Get you a big bite. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Boy, when you get a hold of what he's got and you begin to enjoy, you'll know when you go back, I want another slice, please. I'm over here, Lord. Give me some more. It was good the last time. It'll be good this time. Amen. Can I tell you? Hey, they should have been delighted, and they should have delighted in the appearance of it. They should have. Now, sometimes they hear, you know, they didn't. They did some dumb stuff. I mean, it had a great appeal just by looking at it. But not only that, when you see that, there should be an approval for it. And if you'll notice, a little bit later on, it's not here. I think it's over in the book of Numbers. It says that the people are there before Moses again. You know what they're doing? Griping and fussing and complaining. And they said, when are we going to get something different to eat? And the quote out of that is, it said, our soul loatheth this light bread. Amen? You ever got to the place where something you was eating didn't really strike your fancy? I mean, maybe you ate it every day. Maybe you ate it a lot. Maybe it was one of those things you had to. And I can remember when I was going to school, going to college, every day, I would fix my lunch. I had a little lunch bucket, a little Rubbermaid lunch bucket, and I took my little Rubbermaid, and on the inside of that little Rubbermaid lunch bucket was a bologna and cheese sandwich. Hey, man, that's right. It was a bologna and cheese, I mean, every stinking day. And I was going through, and one day I looked at that thing, and I said, I hate you. when I get out of school, I'm never eating that again. Can I tell you, I still love them today. Woo! Sometimes they ain't nothing like a fried bologna sandwich on toasted bread with some cheese melted on it. Somebody say amen right there. Baby with a big slab of tomato. Woo! I'm talking about some mustard and mayonnaise slapped on that. Let's go, man! I'm ready to eat it right now. Amen? Huh? I'm telling you, hey, sometimes there's just some things when you think, hey, I don't approve, but now I do, amen. I approve of that because, man, it got me through. It helped me in some tough times. It was her when I needed some nourishment. It was there to help me on through. And you know what? Hey, I still appreciate it. These folks, they say, well, we just don't like this old stuff. We don't, Sonny, can I tell you something? I ain't got tired of banana pudding yet, have you? Amen. I'm ready for some more. There was a old preacher out on Sand Mountain with church with my uncle. And he said he went over, my uncle went over to his house as one of his church members, and he said he just went over to visit with him. Went in. He said, this guy, like, we called him Big L. Big L. And he got that name for a reason. He probably weighed about 500 plus pounds. He was a big boy. He was tall. He was about 6'5", 6'6". He's a big old guy, big all over. He'd look at us and he'd say, little one, blah, 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 blah. And I'd think, yep, in your sight, I am a little one. Praise God. I'm running around with you all the time. But anyway, he was there and he had, and my uncle said, I promise you, he had a wash tub full of banana pudding. He said, I went in, some of you ladies, y'all know what this is. These old aluminum pans, it's probably about this big around, like they used that time, maybe to wash their dishes or cut up corn and get ready for canning and all that kind of stuff. It was this big. And he said, it was full of banana pudding. He said, I went in. He said, Big L looked at me. He said, preacher. He said, do you want some banana pudding? He said, well, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, well, you know, I probably would, but I don't know. And, you know, I'm visiting his house. He said, I just didn't. He said, you better hurry up and make up your mind. He said, I'm a fixing to eat it. Amen. So, can I tell you? Hey, man, you better get in while the getting's good. Somebody else will take your part. They'll eat it and they'll shout to glory. Amen. God, hey, God's got a full pan. God's got a full plate. God's got a bowl. It's your bowl. And you ought to fill it up and say, God, woo! I'm ready for seconds, amen. I'm just telling you, man, it should be. There should be some appeal for us. There should be approval from us. And I'm telling you, you and I ought to develop the best appetite that there is for it. Can I tell you again, when you taste and see what the Lord has, your appetite gets whetted toward that. I can go in, and I have at different times, gone into some places, and old Dr. Bottlestopper got up to preach. And it was as dry as cracker juice. Amen. You ever had any cracker juice? Crumble up a handful. See how much juice comes out of that. I mean, it was that dry. I sat there and just drone on and on in a monotone. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, if you'll just get me out of here, I'll shout myself. I mean, I'll do something, you know, whatever may go on. I'm just telling you, sometimes you get in some of them kind of places. And I'm not saying every service you get into's got to be hooping and hollering, but I'm saying God's got to be there. And I've been in some of them where he's still standing at the door knocking, trying to get in, right? But, hey, I'm telling you, when you get an appetite for knowing what's going on at God's house, when you get an appetite for knowing that the Lord has showed up, when you get an appetite for that, then, buddy, that's what you want. Amen? Let me just tell y'all right now, I like fried chicken. Go ahead and say amen to that. You know why? Because I've eaten it before, and I kind of got a good taste in my mouth for it. Amen. Some of these people come around and say, well, we've got, you know, chicken a la blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, y'all got any fried chicken? I mean, I know I'll eat that. I don't know what you've done to this poor little chicken, but hey, you messed him up with some stuff over here now. But I'll take it because that's what my appetite is set for. My appetite in church is set for some good singing. Amen? I mean, you don't have to hit every note. You don't have to be perfectly pitched. You don't have to, you know, not make a mistake or skill. You just got to be singing for God. That's my appetite. Amen. Hey, I want to hear somebody get up and expound the Word of God. You don't have to preach like I do. You don't have to preach, with a certain eloquence or a certain vocabulary or a certain intellect. If you can get up and tell something out of the Word of God, go ahead and have at it. Amen. Brother, I've been there. Some of y'all know some preachers. You've been involved with some preachers. And I know some. My daddy went to the third grade in school. And he had to quit and go to work with a family and try to help them get through some hard times. Went to the third grade in school. But can I tell you, man, when he got older, he tried to dig in that Bible. He would come in when I was a teenager. I'm ashamed of this now, but I used to just kind of laugh and make fun of him. He would come in there and he'd throw that Bible down and he'd say, "What's that word? How do you pronounce it? What does it mean? I don't understand what this is saying." And I would say, "Well, old man, you don't know nothing. You're just old." But buddy, he was a trying. He was a digging on. And I'm telling you, when he got plugged in, you better get out of the way. Amen. I mean, he's going to preach the Word of God. And I say, I know some other preachers like that. They weren't highly educated. They did not have a great vocabulary. They were not refined. They were not polished. They were not made outlines like, you know, A, B, C, D. They didn't do any. But, buddy, God was all over them. They'd open that Bible up, and they could preach you the precious Word of God. And it got the job done. That's the kind of appetite that I had. Pretty soon, these folks, you know what? They lost their appetite for it. I think our world has lost the appetite for the Lord today. But I'm telling you, if you just get a good taste, if you just get a good bite, if you just get a good mouthful and let it sink in, hey, you'll find out, hey, man, the Lord's good and we got to have him. Amen? Oh, listen, these folks here had some problems. Even though God was giving them manna, even though God's feeding them every day, even though, and you know what that says? That just says they're people like me and you. They couldn't get satisfied with what they thought would satisfy them, but aren't you glad, hey, that the songwriter said, Jesus calls, come and dine. And that little song, Come and Dine, it says he satisfies the hungry every time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. And if you eat what he's got, it'll satisfy and fix your situation every time. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a verse of a song.